Friday afternoon deploy, still specking out that $65,000 Mac Pro it was looking at for Christmas, but no one bought it, even though it was on its wish list. Check out our Amazon list.
All right, it's YouTube. Time for seagulls.
Yeah, YouTube.
Ah, what
seagulls,
are we doing?
Stop it.
YouTube.
Willow,
YouTube,
have you seagulls, seen seagulls?
No.
You guys are in for a treat.
So some of, so I'm really
I'm just
excited.
As scared you, as you are,
have
Willow,
you seen this?
Maybe.
No.
Oh, wow.
What is it? So I'm looking up.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
I'm still thinking maybe we might be talking
about
what am I typing? I'm typing seagull.
Bad lip sync seagull.
This almost makes up for our missed hug. Like, I think it does.
It does.
We have a moment now. It's beautiful.
Really disappointing.
I'm so excited.
I don't have cans on, so I'm not going to be able to monitor.
I'll give you my cans.
That's it. Here you go. Fucking it.
This is it?
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
Exciting news.
Exciting news.
Smoked chicken.
Somebody brought a smoked chicken?
Oh, my goodness.
Why do we have a smoked chicken?
I'm in a...
What is Did Tim...
I was like worth it.
Tim brought that.
That smells delicious.
Tim brought that.
Tim brought that. I'm in nice. A
boy. We haven't had a Tim smoked chicken in a while.
I'm in a peer advisory group, and the guy who runs it likes to bring me smoked chickens all the time.
It smells good.
The last one we had in the office
the CEO
was
forum, but we, you know, it's mostly about the smoked and cured meats.
I think my favorite quote from this podcast will be like, "We haven't had a Tim smoked chicken in a while."
I forgot that Alan had one. He brought it by the old office.
I did. It was the last time we had. It was at the previous office. Anything special I need to do? There's no sound coming through.
Oh, whatever channel's got that.
This guy?
Them two pluggy plugs in it.
Yep. What do? We
bring it down.
And then we unmute it, probably.
Unmute it.
I bet that does.
That's my safety net.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So we don't accidentally play.
Here we go.
I hear sound.
Here it is.
Make it full screen.
I hate Brenda. And a bad guy hit me in the shin, and I peed all in my pants.
I love a good bad lip reading.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be Star Wars, though.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple. Tyrell was showing me a different one.
But the seagulls poke at my head. Not fun. I said, seagulls, stop it now.
For our audience, this is Yoda and Luke and Dagobah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Someone sat in a music studio, Alan, and recorded this.
Why didn't we do it, you know?
At some point,
come on, man, quit that banging.
This is what the audience tunes in for.
Yeah.
When the time is right, back your face.
That's good.
Like that.
One day I was walking and I found this big log. Then I rolled the log over and underneath was a tiny little stick. And I was like, that log had a chicken. Sort of pitchy. Didn't like it? Listen, man, I'm not your friend. Don't fall asleep. Fall asleep.
You will be.
That's,
you will be.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that was worth it.
There's so a new one out, and that's how that got prompted. Someone shared the new one with me that's based off of Last Jedi. And I realized that so many of my dear friends had
My stick is better than bacon.
That
my
is
my stick is better than bacon, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I just can't get over. I'm trying to imagine the production of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And someone doing the Yoda voice and singing about the seagulls and like waving off the producer. Like, hang on.
You know, it sounds like
I could do a better take than that.
Yeah.
Cleveland?
Yeah.
I thought that, or it kind of sounded like old Greg.
Oh, old Greg.
I heard some old Greg. Greg in there.
I'm old Greg.
Yeah. Scaly manfish.
I know. I'm so curious about their production process on all the stuff they do. I would love to sit in on that, you know, where they look at it like, ooh, looks like he said seagull there. Because
those guys
like,
do bad lip reading on a ton of stuff.
I love the political
probably
stuff.
Probably very good at it at this point, like down to an art. But yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. They're sitting around a boardroom table watching it and just riffing on like it looks like but there was more to that. There was also just like the editing of the continuity, and they were
like when they were
timing that with the footage
on R2-D2. It's really good.
The cowbell. Stop hitting me.
My favorite is by far that's Tick had a child. What was great was watching it without cans on.
With you because you couldn't hear this at all.
You guys laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, good. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, what a great moment.
I think we got some snorts in there.
Oh, we definitely got some snorts.
That's why we bought the snort mic. Yeah. Snort mic's hot.
That was great.
Boy.
That was good.
How do
we go from there? I don't know. Then we need to get into the smoked chicken.
Yeah.
Megan came and tempted it with us, and then she walked out.
I know. She's like, hey, there's smoked chicken.
Yeah.
Peace. I'm going to eat it. Yeah. She's not, because Megan's vegan.
Like a true producer.
Yeah.
She just came in and was like, hey, you know, get back to work.
Yeah.
Make show.
That's true.
Make show, but here's a smoked chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. Go produce content.
We love you, Megan.
Yeah.
We have a window into the studio.
Yeah. She buys us Ruffles. And,
oh, man. I eat my weight in those.
Yeah.
They're so good.
I would never buy them for myself, but...
But if they're there...
I will eat
them. That's exactly right. They're in open. That's the key.
Yeah.
It's always like a game of Russian roulette about who's going to open the chip bag around here.
Yeah.
Someone eventually does.
And then Tyrell always loses.
Tyrell always finishes it.
It's true.
I'll just start when it's full. I'll just open it and then just
don't do it.
Just do it. Yeah. No. You'll kill Tyrell.
No, yeah,
that's how we'll lose him.
You get me when it's fresh, though. Boy, those tater. Man. Oh, it's little tater sized chips in there.
You guys are making me hungry.
Do you get you get Ruffles at your new gig? You get Ruffles?
No.
Fruit Loops?
Mm. Oh, man.
You know what we have here?
What?
Ruffles. You know what else we have?
Skittles in a big box. The big.
You know what else we got? We got pistachios in the shells, man.
Dry roasted nuts by the gallon.
Apparently, also smoked meat.
Smoked meat.
Yeah, that's a fresh addition.
Those are just gifts. Yeah. That's just stuff that rolls in.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, there was a basket of cookies brownies.
This week, we've gotten a smoked turkey, a bottle of champagne.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that from our lawyer.
And two gift baskets full of delicious
Cookie snacks.
Yep.
Yeah. Cookies and brownies. And
no, them brownies.
Banana are bread.
Dangerous.
We get fat over here.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Lofty.
Yeah. Yep. Gonna have to do some walking or something.
Mm. That sounds Tyrell's a lot like
gonna,
a New Year's
Tyrell's
resolution.
Gonna do him some running.
I'm gonna do some of that this weekend.
He's running through the woods.
Yeah.
I heard that you're running in the Washitas. Is that what's happening?
Yep, going out to the Washitas.
I like the Washitas.
Go run across the mountains and back. It's pretty dumb. this is the one. Like, this is one of those races where I question my choices. Mm. I did this last year.
How many miles?
It's 26 miles. It's a marathon.
Ooh, boy.
But it's across
how much elevation gain? Yeah,
9,000 feet of woo! Elevation.
Okay, yeah.
So you go across.
That's only 2 miles straight in the air.
Yeah,
yeah.
You go across 8 mountain peaks, and you turn around and come back.
Mm.
And so what happens is eventually the easiest way for you to kind of like mark off accomplishments is you start counting summits.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being on the way back saying to myself, "Okay, 2 summits to the aid station, and then 3 mountains to the next aid station, then 1 mountain, and I'm done." And I went, "What did you just say to yourself?" I started a conversation about myself going, "What? That's normal. People don't say those things."
Yeah,
and,
it's true.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget this. I was backpacking in the Washita Mountains.
Yep. Where at? Eagle Rock Loop?
No.
Okay, it's about to be. And we might be.
Gosh, I don't even remember which part it was at this point.
There's also that long backpacking trail that comes through Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
It's called
Wichita.
Yeah, it is in southwest trail. Of the state.
Gotcha.
And we had been hiking for a day or so, and then the next day, and we were very tired at this point. It was a multiple day trip, and we kept looking at the map and being like, "Oh, there's this thing. It's called the Flatlands." So we're like, "We're gonna get there and we're gonna make up some lost ground because it's called the Flatlands. It's gonna be flat,
fucking flat." Yeah,
The Flatlands were fucking not flat. It was like fucking Greenland and Iceland.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was hilly as fuck, and that was lesson learned there. Don't believe maps.
No.
Don't believe the maps.
Yeah.
If they don't, especially if they don't have an elevation profile on them.
Yeah, no. We
do. I've never done multi-day hikes, and I've never done insane running the way Tyrell does. But I have done some multi-day bike touring rides.
Yeah.
And we rode the Katy Trail a couple years ago, and that was a 4-day trip, about 300 miles. And we were looking at the elevation map. It's not a terrible, it's a pretty flat route because you're following an old rail trail, so they don't have anything above a 2% grade.
Those are great.
But still, there was one particularly hilly section right at the beginning, and it was our longest day. And so we were really looking forward to this big chunk of flat, open area. Plus, it was like deep in the woods, and so there was not much scenery. And then we got there, and we had like 25 mile an hour crosswinds for 8 fucking hours, and it was awful.
That's terrible.
It was the worst. We wanted to die very badly. And then we were like, "Well, only 180 more miles and 2 more days, we'll be out of this." And then we got to get a train because my car is 200 miles that way. But it was fun.
Yeah.
But same thing. When you get your hopes up for the flats,
drive down to the Wichita right now.
So you're going right now?
I got to go drive down there.
Good luck.
Do it.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you on Monday.
See you, Tyrell.
See you later.
Bye. Don't get lost on a mountain.
No.
You remember, you're only 16 summits away from being done. I'm gonna move into his. I'm moving to a proper station.
Yeah, right.
Not that I don't like.
No, that's fine.
I'm just sick of holding this mic in my hand.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, there you go.
The cuddle time was nice, though.
I'm glad you enjoyed my candy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Tyrell, he does the running. I like to think that he burns enough calories for all of us.
He definitely burns more than enough for himself.
Yeah.
Might not cover all of us, but he covers most of us.
Yep. Yep. That's he likes to push himself like that. I used to, but I just did a lot of drugs instead. That's how I pushed myself. How I found out who I was.
I'm only 16 rock bottoms away from
Yeah.
I like working out, but I don't like running.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, cardio is running. My least favorite,
too.
The
only time I can run is if I'm playing basketball. It's the only time I can convince myself that this is okay.
That it's worth running. Yeah. I hate running. I hate running so much. I love cycling, and I can do that for hours.
Bless him. Really,
I used to be able to do that for hours. I can't now. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But once upon a time, I could. But I have never... Even when I was in peak cycling condition, I could never run for more than my block. Mm. And then I would get to the end of the street and be like, what the fuck is this? People do this for fun? And I know we have runners that listen to the show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sound like an asshole.
I hope they laugh at us. I'm sure
they do.
Tyrell
laughs at me when we have that conversation.
I run sometimes down the trail just a little bit, like from our office to the library or something. And then I get to the end of it. There was one time I ran up the mountain there by the library.
Oh, that's a terrible mountain.
It is. It is. And I don't know if you get the thing like I get where, I don't know if it's my blood pressure gets up so high or something, but then I can't hear.
Yeah, your ears are ringing.
Yeah.
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 That's blood pressure.
Yeah. Can't hear. Can't think. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, where am I? Oh, I got to go back to work after this. Like,
your teeth hurt.
Yeah.
You ever get that? That's blood pressure too.
Ah, gotcha.
Your teeth hurt.
Yes. Like actually feel pain like in your gums.
Oh, weird.
From like mass exertion.
I've never experienced that. Mm,
yeah. Mm. Sucks. Or maybe I'm unique. I don't know. Mm. That used to happen to me all the time. No, even when I was in shape.
You definitely get that, but I'm not sure if it's blood pressure or what. Because I got it when I was a kid. We were running at class and I would get it.
Mm. Pain in your... Yep. Yeah. Good.
In the jaws.
We're 50-50 around this table of people who have experienced that.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I'm not sure if I just grip my teeth so hard.
Yeah.
My problem is I always like tighten my arms too much and then my arms hurt. Like
sore from that.
Yeah. Mm.
We're an athletic bunch over here.
Yeah, we are.
Friday afternoon deploy.
Hey, let me tell you a couple stories over the holidays. I like at one point in the evening on one day, I don't know what it was, but I'm looking at my fingers and I got like red little spots on them, almost looks like burns or like I've been bitten by something. And I'm just sitting there looking at it. Alyssa's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. I mean, I guess I got bit by something. Maybe we were moving some wood around outside. And so I was like, oh God, you think something bit me? And then couldn't figure it out. And then walnuts.
I've been cracking walnuts.
Oh, I was eating so many walnuts, I hurt my hand. And I did again the other day. That was like, geez, my wrist hurts. I don't know what I did. She was like, it's the walnuts. Yeah.
Oh, yep.
Forgot about the walnuts. Yeah. So I asked her for walnuts. She brought me 3 bags of walnuts. And so I commenced. So
you're getting your exercise.
That's yes. Yeah. Working on my grip strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Have you ever... Do you remember, I guess, at what point you started making old person noises when you got out of chairs?
Mine was recent. Yeah. Somewhat recent.
I think so. I think mine was
10 years ago.
I became aware of it recently.
Yeah.
Imberly would mimic me getting up. Like, we'd be hanging out. I'd be watching her, and she'd, you know, we'd go to get up, like, come on, pop, pop. And then we'd go to get up, and she would grunt. She'd get up, she'd go, and then I realized I was doing it too. And she's just like, it's so funny. She's so sweet. Like, she does that to make sure, you know, anything she does with somebody, she does it with everyone in the room. And so it's like, she didn't want me to feel bad, I guess.
That's about good. She was like up. Solidarity with pop,
yeah.
Pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Her empathy is very strong. Yeah. Yeah.
I already have old injuries.
You used to do gymnastics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My hips all messed up because of that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
How long did you do it for?
Oh, man, well, like seriously for like 3 years, and then before that for like another 3 years.
Yeah.
And then when I was a kid, just like, you know, a little bit too.
Yeah.
Can you do?
My daughter does gymnastics.
Can you do like a cartwheel?
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, yeah. You can do a backflip.
Like a cartwheel.
No, I could do a backflip. I could do.
Can you do one though?
That's what I want now.
I'm sure, probably not.
So we had our
small studio.
We had our work Christmas party the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
And like everybody got an award, which was kind of hilarious.
Okay.
Like a little participation award, which is great. And somebody got an award for like the only person that can do a backflip. And so then everybody was like, I've never seen you do a backflip. And so
they had to earn that award.
He fucking pulled it out though, man. Like,
did backflip?
Right in front of everybody. Backflip.
Nice.
This dude is our age, Casey.
Oh man.
Yeah. Impressive.
Good for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There are plenty of old people that can do a lot more shit than I can do. Like, there's an episode of Letterkenny. If you haven't, I think we've talked about Letterkenny.
But I'm terrible at remembering episodes.
You'll find it, but there is particularly an episode about the old guy sounds.
Okay,
because Squirrely Dan makes some sounds getting up from the bar, and they're like, "Oh, what? Who's the who's the mom?" Is what they said. Yeah. It's like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, you have a kid now. You made a dad sound," is what they called it. And then the whole episode's about every time someone gets up and they grunt, they have to someone, turns it into a dad conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it, Sharon, can't afford two vacations this year.
That show is great.
Yeah, it's a great one. It's super good. Yeah. I make old man sounds now.
Yeah.
Henry's doing other sounds that I do.
Okay.
Apparently I like smack my lips occasionally.
Okay.
Like when I'm thinking, I
haven't noticed.
Never this. Heard myself do this until now.
Oh, okay.
Because he talks normal all the time, his normal 2-year-old voice. And then every once in a while, he'll start telling a story. So you'll ask him like, what happened at school today? Or you'll, he knows that we're making stuff up. Like, oh, tell me about the dragon or something. Mm-hmm. And he'll start going, he'll go, I just did it.
I just did it.
And he'll go, well, I think, and he just, I'm like, where the hell are you waiting at? And Paige turns to me and she's like, you fucking do that all the time. And I was like, what? And now I hear myself doing it constantly.
That is funny.
So kids, do not let you get away with any sort of affectation.
Yep.
Yeah.
You will learn everything. You become so self-conscious around children.
I used to make fun of my sister. Like if I did something wrong, she always look at me like, with a disappointed, concerned look on her face, and I would always do it back at her when she did it.
Oh, and then she could see her face reflected in her. Yep.
Those darn kids.
Yeah. My daughter now is, everything is hilarious.
Hilarious?
Hilarious.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah, no H, nothing, just hilarious.
Henry loves, what does he say? He says, castroy. And explode.
Yeah.
So we build stuff with Duplos.
Yeah.
And I can never get any masterpiece completed because he can't wait to destroy it. He'll just pick it up out of my hand and he'll be like, Dad, I picked up your Duplos and I destroyed it and it exploded. Like, yeah, it did. And that was my fucking typewriter. I've been working on it all night. He does not think it's funny when I explode his toys, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how that works. Yeah. And Amberly, she says so many things now that I can't think of any one thing, because it's like now we're in this phase of every day it's almost like something new.
Yeah.
And you're just like, holy crap. Like,
how old is she?
She's two.
Yeah.
Going on three.
Coming up on three.
I feel like there was a big explosion between like 2 and 4.
Yeah. Mm.
It was like it's every nonstop. Day. Yeah. It's nonstop. It was nonstop.
Yeah. Mm. Henry will be 3 in April.
Yeah.
So we're 3/4 of the way through 2.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's crazy. He brings stuff up all the time. He said archaeologist the other day.
Yeah. Whoa. Man, it's insane.
I was just like, what the fuck did you just say? Because he said something about like, oh, it's like an archaeologist. And I was like, did you just say archaeologist? How do you know what an archaeologist is? And it was just, we had a book one time about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And the archaeologist was like wearing a yellow hat, and he saw a yellow hat and was like, oh, it's like an archaeologist hat. And I was just like, my mind blown that he even knew that. How would you know that word? But this constant, they pick up on everything.
Yep. That's right. She started doing this thing where it's like I can tell she's working out a standardized conversation. As she does this, like she's been asking, like, are you okay? Like for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's gotten to where she understands, like, used to, like, she'd fall down and be like, are you okay? Like, you know, didn't quite. And so now, though, she'll ask you, are you okay? And you're like, yeah, I'm good. How are you? She's like, I'm good. You know, and then
that's a little routine that you run through.
She'll do that four or five times in an hour that you're hanging out. And it's like, I could tell she's working on, you know, what else to add to that.
Yep.
But that's the beginning of a good conversation. Yep. Like, how are you doing? You
know? Yeah. Henry has one that's very rehearsed. That's like, my name's Henry. What's your name? And then you say your name. And then he says, And this was like purely, he didn't pick up on this on his own way. Someone coached him at some point, but now it's permanent. And he says, you tell him your name, and then he goes, what sort of things do you like to do? It's like speed dating with your son.
Yeah. my niece is almost 4, and she can spell her name.
Yeah.
And she tries to write stuff very unsuccessfully. She'll be like, look, it says dad's name, and it's just like
just scribbling.
It's weird because she can like read some signs and stuff. It's weird.
I was visiting a friend of mine, and his son was like two or three. He's about Henry's age. Actually, he must have been a little bit old. He must have been between 4 and 5. Anyway, point is, he had made a magazine. He had like stapled together some cardboard or some construction paper, drawn a bunch of stuff in it, and
that's cool.
He was sitting down with his parents, and then he brought it over to me to read it, and he was like, here, read this. And I opened it up, and it was just scribbles, and I was like, oh, well, it says, and this was like right at bedtime, so it was like there had already been a couple moments, you know, that I now as a parent understand how fucking crazy near bedtime is. So like we were on thin ice. Yeah. I didn't realize that. So I was like, oh, it says
and something, his parents
something,
in the background.
Yeah, they're like trying to fucking wave me off. And I'm just like, I think it says this. And he lost his shit. Like, that's not what it says at all. And I was like, well, it's just a fucking scribble. I don't know, kid. I'm sorry. But Henry triggered that too. Yeah, and it was right at bedtime. I understand how volatile of a time that is.
Yeah.
Henry, I have to comment on my son. You know, very smart for a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. Not very smart for a human being, in the grand scheme of things.
Well, he's got 2 years of context.
I'm not knocking that. Yeah. But he's real bad about selling himself out on stuff. His mischief level is high. Mm. His ability to execute the cover-up, not so good. Because he can write one letter. And that is the letter H for his name. He's figured out how to draw H. Yeah. And he fucking draws it everywhere. Every time you hand him a crayon and a piece of paper, he draws an H on it. And the other day, we opened up the closet. We have wood floors in Paige's office. We open up the closet, and there's just fucking marker all over the floor. It's like, oh, no. And it's just H. Yeah. It's like, I wonder who was drawing on the floor in the closet.
Mastermind.
Did you do this?
And Henry is just like, that's a fucking H.
It's crazy.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, that's good.
Pretty funny.
In that same vein.
If you're going to vandalize, you probably should not sign it.
No, that's take a page from Banksy's book. In that same vein, Emberly will do, she's got this new thing now that when she's going to do mischief, similar thing, her execution needs some work. But
right.
She'll do like, she's fixing to do a thing. You're like, should you be doing that? And then all of a sudden she's just like, go. Just go.
Yeah,
go.
Just
don't be
go.
We don't need to see this.
Yeah, go.
This doesn't fucking concern you, Alan.
That's right.
Get
over
me. Yeah.
What are you doing there? Go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I think you're being nefarious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So programming.
Yeah, we do that
we
sometimes.
We went off on old man tangents.
Yeah, we did.
Some of you will relate to that.
We didn't talk much programming this time.
We did a little bit. We talked about browsers.
We did spec out a Mac Pro.
Oh, yeah, we did. And then we griped about Circle CI for about 5 minutes.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, that's pretty much a segment along with the hate on Google.
I live that every day.
Yeah.
Circle CI.
Yeah, we were lamenting that.
Mm-hmm.
There, Blake was talking about he did a Friday afternoon deploy, or maybe it was a Friday morning.
It was a Friday morning deploy. Okay.
Mm. But he did a Friday deploy.
Is it still ongoing though? Is that still an active
deployment
situation? Because that could still be a Friday afternoon.
No, that is.
So it was successful then.
Yeah, we did multiple today. Multiple.
You said it was good. And
it was good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some good. There was some bad. We, you know, learned some things.
Yeah.
Fixed some things.
Yeah.
Deploy it again.
Yeah.
Deploy it again.
Yeah.
And then it was good. And then
sounds about right.
And then we deployed some other shit that just worked. So, I mean, good and bad today.
Yeah.
That's better than all bad.
Did we do any deploys today?
Not to production.
Staging.
Several staging deploys.
I might be able.
Ooh,
to
I owe Willow a staging deploy.
I might be able.
My
to,
bad, Willow.
I might be able to fix staging for the other project.
Ooh, deploy that. Deploy today. That tonight. Okay. Well, I mean, don't go home and work. I'm just kidding. No. That sounded like an order.
I mean, but yeah, I could do it before I leave, though.
Well, that.
Yeah.
I support.
Okay.
We as a team are trying to get more comfortable with more deployments to production.
Mm.
So we have been deploying to production almost every day. And
I can live in that world.
Yeah.
You gotta have your shit right. You gotta have your tooling right. You gotta have your testing.
Yeah. Mm. And if it's not, it quickly shows up. Yeah. Like, you quickly discover which parts of the process are not super great.
Yeah.
And then you start kind of fixing those, and it does get easier. So that's an experiment in progress.
Are you running microservices?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that helps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Serverless and microservices and, you know, web apps and all that shit. So
your deployments aren't necessarily the risk isn't that you break all services.
Yeah, take the whole thing down.
Not the whole thing, but like a lot of them do like talk to each other. So there's a chance like
you bring one down and it fucks up the whole system.
And then we have like a graph on top of it, like that exposes everything, right?
Yeah.
So if the graph goes down, nothing works.
Right.
But yeah, no, I mean, I would say the thing that we are still struggling with is just a real lack of integration testing between the services that are dependent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of working on that, but it's hard to have confidence, you know, if you don't know all the touch points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you haven't worked on everything, sometimes you don't know all the touch points. And
so how does if that's a good, like, philosophical question almost, maybe, of like, if you have multiple services, especially if those services are maintained by different resources or different teams, who's responsible for the integration test where they meet? Which team has to do that?
Right? Yeah. I think on our team, it's pretty small. So kind of everybody has ownership of everything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is a good question. It's like,
as you scale.
Yeah. Like, right? Like at what point does, like, if team A and team B own the two different services, like which team writes the integration test? And
the answer is team Q.
Probably.
The QA or quality of the test team, right? Test
is.
Engineers. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I would not. So we had a couple of projects I worked in the past, worked on in the past. We had not where I'm at now, but where I worked previously. In it, we had QA teams, and like their job was to write like end to end tests.
Were they like
browser tests?
Were they cross project teams?
I think so. Okay, yeah. So it was like a QA team at a company, right?
Right.
And all they did was write like end-to-end tests all day.
Yep.
And I'm just like, that would make me so sad.
Yeah. It's not for me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that
it would
for
be
sure.
Not, that is, and it's very, it's thankless work. It really is.
Yeah. Especially from like the customer.
Yeah.
You absolutely. Might get some accolades from the developers.
Yeah.
Because
loved,
I worked on a team that had, I don't know. It was probably 1/3 of the team was quality.
Yeah.
QA engineers, which is a lot. I mean, it was like,
It
was like, actually it was more than 1/3. Yeah. I don't know. It was something like 10 developers and 7 QA people or something like
that. Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it was a lot. And definitely that we valued that team.
Yeah.
Like, as the developers, it was awesome. They caught everything.
Yeah.
I rarely deployed bugs to production. They got caught. And then someone came back to me with a test to go make work, and that was awesome. But that was in a client services type business, like your company was.
Yeah.
The end customer, just they never see the result of it.
Yeah,
they take for granted, like, yeah, I got the app and it wasn't broken. Isn't that what I paid for? Fuck you, QA person.
Yeah.
I can deal with writing the test, but when you come into it and there's all these thousands of tests.
Willow has inherited a project with pre-existing tests that are
disastrous. Oh, man, she's been lamenting the linter a little bit on there.
That I'm less complaining about because I've dealt with that for the most part, but the test thing was like, that was hell for like 2 days.
The existing test suite. I've been in there and I've looked at that code. The existing test suite is doing lots of magic, which is not what you want a test suite to do.
No.
All kinds of special test-only behavior.
Yeah.
You're not testing anything but your tests at that point.
I mean, they had the right idea. Like, as far as how they organize everything, they had the right idea, but some of it was just not...
It's pretty messy.
Set up right.
They have a lot of tests.
It's very diplomatic.
That is not. It was. That was very generous.
Well, I don't know. I can't say about some of it.
It's good to exert discretion there.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, it's not that complicated of an app. It's got over 1,000 unit tests.
Yeah,
but they're not actually unit tests, and that's the other thing to note is it's running in the unit test suite, but those are full on integration tests.
Oh yeah, it goes outside of its sort of domain.
They mock a few things out, but for the most part, or maybe you could call them functional tests, I guess. They do have Selenium like browser testing, but also everything like on the backend framework exercises the entire request response cycle. So it's not testing a function of code.
Yeah.
It's testing routing, database, it's doing everything. I hit this API endpoint, I get these results back.
Yeah.
Get the full round trip.
Yeah, that's
about 1,000 of those. Takes a long time to run.
That's what we were wondering about the coverage on that thing. I think
it's over 90. Yeah. So I'll give them that.
Damn.
Over 90% test coverage, which is better than a lot of people achieve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's better than zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in that 70 to 80% range.
I can live in that range fine.
Is the magic spot? Because there's definitely some art to that. I think, it's not clear cut in that you have to have this percentage. And I think a lot of people, maybe less so now, but a lot of people a couple of years ago would get really hung up on having 100% coverage, and that doesn't guarantee shit.
No. In fact, what it does is it incentivizes writing tests that
don't do anything.
That pass.
Yeah, right.
Period. End of story. Yeah. Write a test that pass, right? Not test the functionality of the app.
Yep.
So when you start doing that, you get into a place where, you mock things all to hell or monkey patch and stuff, and then all you're doing is testing the implementation. Did the function get called with the arguments that I passed it?
Well, right,
But,
pass it the right arguments.
You someone can go modify the code and the function return the same result, but the test fails now.
A lot of people too get caught up in like testing code that isn't theirs. Find that's a really common mistake as well. Good example is I have a function and I'm passing it a piece of data, and it's gonna run like two Lodash functions on this object. Cool, I'm going to make sure this function does exactly what Lodash is supposed to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've got tests for that, yeah.
Yeah,
they have lots of tests for that.
Yeah.
That's why, Willow, on your project, it's kind of silly to have so many tests that are full functional tests.
They have all that static typing in there.
Oh, yeah, they are using Python static typing, which is just nothing, by the way. You guys know this. You may not know this, Blake, but we have type hinting.
Type hinting, yeah.
Oh, what is that?
Okay,
it's a hint for you, the developer. The interpreter doesn't do jack shit.
No, it doesn't care. So you could do like a function, and then you can do a little arrow, basically, and then say like maybe it returns none.
Yeah,
maybe it returns none.
Well, I mean that's what I mean. It would be like I would have a function that maybe it doesn't return anything. It just does a thing, and I'd write arrow none.
Right,
I would know it doesn't return anything.
But there's no static analysis. So if you return a string, it wouldn't say anything.
The hooks are there for people to come implement static analysis tools that do something with it, but in Python's
nobody cares.
Yeah, the interpreter doesn't care.
The types in the test, they're already writing all these tests. Just make sure you return the right type when you test.
That's what the code's supposed to do. But yeah, so all those functional tests that are in there that use like Django's test client to send a request to an endpoint and then evaluate the response, the code that you're exercising is, some of your logic in there in the middle of the onion, and then everything else around it, you're testing Django's ORM, testing template rendering, you're testing the middleware, you're testing configuration. Django's got a shitload of tests for that.
Yeah.
And they're testing it 1,000 times over. But did this really talk to a database?
They did like overriding some of the middleware stuff. Like, they had a few middleware that they added themselves. I don't even know if that was necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like,
inheriting contractor code.
Like, they just... it doesn't seem like this app is that complicated. It's not like our other project, one of some of our other projects.
That is 100% true. We look at other projects that are far more complicated in their functionality that we've done, and far less complicated in their actual configuration and setup than this thing. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. And I was going to ask your opinion on this, but I don't trust your opinion because you do JavaScript, Blake.
Give it to me.
I was just going to ask, like, it's going to be so absurd when I say it out loud. Don't you just hate it, Blake, when you go to pick up a project and it's got all these external dependencies from the package manager? 2.5 gigabytes of node modules. So in Django and Python land, that's uncommon. I mean, there are some third-party stuff, but for the most part, you just write code. You don't need to go import a library to do, because, well, Python has a standard library, so you don't need Lodash and things like that. But
right, but you still use Django, which...
Django is a framework. That's one external dependency. Just one. That's one.
And Django has its dependencies, right?
It has one, I think. Yeah, it has a time zone thing. It's pretty well self-contained.
All of Django's code is its own
import
code.
Django.
Yeah.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, that's how a lot of the Python world is.
That hasn't been my experience with Python.
Well, you inherited someone else's Python. Mm. Someone did what we're complaining about, where it's just like, what the fuck is it? Django has a configuration system. What is this thing that they've installed that turns it from all your config stored in the database and just lots of little hacks on the framework to implement
stuff? Yeah, we've seen it more than once. Yeah. And on Django projects, like there was another one that we have that you're digging in there and going like, why did they do it this way? Yeah. Django has a way to do it.
And you would have you would have had to write maybe like a dozen lines of code, but whatever happened to writing a dozen line of code? Why do I have to go import 50,000 lines of code that does all kinds of crazy
stuff? You start the project, it works. There's barely anything you have to do.
Right.
You just go, that's it.
Boom. Done.
We also don't use pip.
Fuck do you use?
We use something that's like npm for Python.
We use
like
pipm.
You use poetry?
Poetry, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's pip. I mean, it's still PyPI. It's still the package manager.
Yeah.
It's the package index, right? Behind it. But yeah. Poetry is getting popular.
Yeah. It's very similar to npm or
you get lock files.
Cargo.
Yeah.
And we don't really use Django that much either. We use Flask, which my understanding is it doesn't have as much built in, right?
No, it has
nothing built in.
You do have to go to
pip,
or you have to go to PyPI.
Maybe that's why that's my experience. That's true. That's what we use.
Yeah,
it probably is. Like, that's every time I've wanted to sit down and just write a Flask app, then I just end up going like, damn, I like Django.
Yeah.
Because you have to go like, oh, I need some authentication. How do I do that? Oh, I got to go get the Flask authentication package and install that. Oh, I need forms. How do I? Oh, I got to import download and import the forms.
And I think that, like, as someone who doesn't write it every day, my feeling on that is like it's so, it's like domain specific. That as someone who doesn't do it very much, it's like I don't know all these little isms, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that it's like hard, and that's probably why people just add dependencies that Django can already do. It's like you don't know what you don't know.
That's valid. That's true. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you'll see that will owe your project. There's a bunch of crazy stuff on top of environment variables, and like what'll happen is a developer, for whatever reason, I don't understand the full rationale, but comes in, it's like, oh, I need to switch some configuration value with an environment variable, and they just go searching for packages of like how to manage environment. But no, it's just built into Python standard library. You just import your environment and all of your environment variables are there. Go do it.
Yep.
But then you get this like weird dependency, and then that dependency might do something funky that doesn't work in your test suite, or it does some sort of monkey patching at runtime. That causes a lot of problems. You get enough of those stacked on top of each other, and you start getting weird ass bugs.
My favorite one was that one that we were looking at, and then we were trying to write some tests for something, and then we were looking at how they do tests, and they didn't use the Django test framework at all. And so then we dug deeper, and it wasn't even testing the code base. They were literally testing their tests.
Yeah, it was in bad shape.
Yeah.
Seen a lot of that.
Yeah.
Those are frustrating to maintain. For the team that originally built it, I'm sure that they have the tribal knowledge built up. Right. Everybody knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Man, when you inherit a project like that and you're like, fuck yeah, it's a Django project. We can work on that. Send it over here. And we open it up. I'm like,
that's not a Django project.
This is a Subway sandwich.
What is this?
I don't know what this is.
That's where's my Chipotle sauce?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much every single
code
JavaScript project, right?
Why I hate JavaScript. That is the basis of my hatred for JavaScript.
I get where you're coming from on that. I think I'm just used to it, and there are really common you'll see a lot of the same things, right? You're gonna see like Lodash is very common.
We like Lodash.
We do like Lodash.
If you're like Webpack, you're gonna see that shit everywhere.
Webpack, we don't like, but it's necessary.
Nobody
likes Webpack.
Yeah. I do.
Blake likes it. Well, Blake
wrote his own Webpack. He knows how it works, so that's why he likes it.
I taught you guys.
Webpack,
come on,
Webpack.
I didn't retain it all. I'm sorry, Blake.
Webpack is to Blake as like ham radio is to Tyrell.
I think
something
so.
He just likes to open up and tinker. Yeah.
Ah, it's good.
Yeah. Your talk gave me a better understanding of Webpack than I've ever seen.
Blake, I would watch your talk again, and I would learn more stuff.
Is
it on YouTube?
No, I know.
Can we link that up somewhere?
It's not on YouTube.
I've watched this on a screen before. You guys live cast it.
Yeah, we did. It doesn't exist anymore. I've tried to look for it like a couple months ago.
We got to share it with the show. It's a good one. It's a good one. You'll actually understand what Webpack does.
We may have to like produce a video of you giving that talk.
Blake, we need you to give that talk again.
Okay. Yeah.
And we'll
give it again.
Yeah.
An interesting point. So a couple weeks ago, I sent out a survey about the JavaScript meetup.
All right.
And lots of trying to reinvigorate some of the interest. It's been 4-ish years.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And it's been really difficult to get speakers this year.
Mm.
So as part of that, though,
I'll give a talk at the JS meetup.
Oh yeah, what are you going to talk about?
JS fucking sucks.
And here's why.
Not accepted. You can give a lightning talk about that though.
Okay.
Deal.
I had an idea for a talk one time, but I forget what
you should
it was.
Do a view one. I need somebody to do a view talk.
I'd do a view talk, or Alan can do it if he wants to do it. Mm-hmm. I would do it. I would enjoy it.
Yeah, someone needs to do that. It was one of the things that was requested, and I don't know Vue, so
I will do it. But I will pick on JavaScript the whole time.
Yeah,
but it will still be an educational talk.
I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. And anyway, so I've been like trying to. I've been considering filming. And recording the presentation.
Yeah,
we've done that a few times.
We've done a few.
How do you guys like? I'd be interested in talking a little bit more about that because, what do you use to do that? A phone? Do you use?
No. What did I film it with?
Do you have a DSLR?
I actually filmed it with a GoPro.
Yeah,
it with a GoPro. I turned off wide angle so it didn't look like ridiculous, and then I mic'd it with a condenser mic.
Mm.
So not one of these dynamic mics, but one that you can put and it actually lights up the whole room.
Oh, nice.
And then recorded it to, I used our podcast setup to actually record it.
Oh, nice.
Thing, so.
Yeah.
We can run a cable out of here. If you host it at our office, we can run audio and record it right here on the board.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have a production studio ready to go.
Yep.
Yeah. I have been considering that. We'll see.
We also took remote guests. Same deal.
Yeah.
We hooked up a mic out there on that mic stand.
Yeah.
And then had a presenter come with a Zoom meeting and present remotely from the UK. And
then
we had them piped in with a microphone for the Q&A afterwards so people could come up to the mic and talk to the presenter.
Nice.
And that worked really well. And that opens up your guest footprint.
Sure.
You can bring
in
remote guests at that point.
Yeah. I have also considered that. I've also considered doing that. But my opinion on the meetup thing and it being local is I want it mostly to be driven by local people it's an opportunity for them to get exposure.
Sure.
To get out there. And, if no one wants that, then just get somebody
else. No, you're right. Do that. Don't be a nowhere developer. I'm still not over it.
No. Yeah.
Get one of those real developers to come in. Get a Google person to come in.
Yeah, one of those West Coast developers.
Yeah, get one of them to come out here and fucking dev-splain to everybody.
Yeah.
Dev-splain.
Man, Anyway.
What time is it?
We got a show.
Oh, man.
Are we done?
Oh, dude, we almost got two shows.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
I know.
That's convenient because we didn't release two shows last week. Yeah. That'll work out. I have to apologize to our audience for we missed a week.
We did.
But, you know. Holidays, it's been busy. It's been crazy.
You might have missed a week, too, for work or something.
Yeah, that's
holidays.
Our last episode was in the holidays, and we said, go unplug, and then we took our own advice.
Yes, we did.
And we unplugged.
And we unplugged. Except from the Xbox. I didn't unplug from that.
Yeah, I didn't unplug from my Switch at all.
Nice. All right. Well, cool. Let's call it a week.
Let's do it.
Thanks for hanging, Blake.
Yeah, man.
Come back more.
I will be back.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow at Friday Deploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.